And good morning to you. I'm Ellen Speer, and you're listening to Morning Drive on WTBR, the Berkshire Community Radio, Pittsfield Community Radio, to be precise about it. We have three terrific guests with us today. If you're like me, you've been a little bit puzzled by the national news about money, finances, tariffs, fees, all of that. And three great people are going to straighten all out for us. They are John Bissell, President and CEO of Greylock Federal Credit Union. Thank you for coming, John.
My pleasure.
And Robert McCullough-Dews, the Vice President of Marketing for the Credit Union.
Thank you, Ellen.
She works with all of us in the community. And Cindy Shogre-Raymer, VP Director of Community Development for the bank.
Thank you, Ellen.
Let me ask you first, what do those jobs mean? What's all that about? We got John.
Okay, good.
Roberta, why don't you tell us what you do?
I want to defer to Cindy because Cindy, I call her, she's one of the veterans of the credit union, and she can speak a lot about it. So I'd love for Cindy to go.
Well, thank you, Roberta. So as the Director of Community Development, what I'm involved in is I oversee a team of financial wellness coaches. However, I like to refer to them as holistic coaching because we just don't talk to you about finances if you do not have enough food to feed your family, fuel for your house. So we do a lot of what's called wraparound services. We work with so many community partners within all of Berkshire County and beyond, so all of your health and human service agencies. So we'll pull them in as needed. We also do a lot of financial wellness classes on numerous topics, budgeting, even touching on, like you noted with today, with immigration and everything. So we do have a lot of new Americans here that we work very closely with them. We talk about budgeting, credit, building credit, achieving that American dream, and we are also able to do this in multiple languages. So our classes are done in Spanish and English, but we also have coaches that speak five different dialects of, from Ghana. Mm-hmm.
So we'll get into the specifics of those. And Roberta, how about you?
That's right. So marketing, as the name suggests, really encompasses a lot, right? When we think about marketing, we're thinking about, right, telling the story around our products and services, but it's also about engagement, right? I think that's a key part of marketing. Building relationships with our community members is key, right? People have choices, right? They have choices where they use their money, how they choose to use their money. And when people are thinking about a financial institution that they want to entrust with their dollars, we want to make sure that it's just not transactional. We want to make sure that they know how we're showing up for them in the small and great ways of life. And so when we think about marketing, it really is those small touchstones as well as those big things that we think about when we see, Greylock in media outlets. But it's more than that. It's how we show up in the community.
Sure. Let me start, John, with you on mm-hmm. More macro type of question. I'm listening to the national news every day.
I'm sorry.
I know. And then I have to turn it off. Yeah. It's confusing. Mm-hmm. So how does the financial environment that we're hearing macro compare to what's happening for people in this region?
Yeah.
And we'll get to the specific pieces of that, but just in general.
Yeah, it's a great question, Ellen, and thank you so much for having us on the show. And it's great to just be able to talk and have an intelligent conversation about this stuff because it is very confusing, and it's getting more confusing, I think, the further that we go. I think from where I sit, and first of all, you asked about our roles at the credit union, and it is a good question. What do I do? I think my job is really to try to take down barriers to the excellent work that Cindy and Roberta are doing, the great work that's taking place in all of our branches and our lending departments, and that includes paying attention to what's happening nationally and internationally, and as much as possible, not letting that screw up the local business model. So that's what I'm spending quite a bit of my time doing. At the national level and international level, a lot of the changes, or at least noise about changes that we've heard so far, have probably not fully taken root in our local economy yet. So for example, you mentioned tariffs. I was talking to Jonathan Butler. He's the head of our One Berkshire, our top economic development agency. And he said that he is hearing from some employers that tariffs are starting to hurt, starting to elevate prices. But on the whole, it hasn't really hit the Berkshires very hard yet.
So when I go to supermarket, what am I going to notice six months from now?
So for sure, grocery price inflation has hit hard. That is the biggest change that's happened in the past few years. and for sure that's hurting local families. 25% increase in grocery costs year over year. The cost of everything is going up, electricity, gas, you name it. So that is already hitting hard. And if tariffs really take effect, that will lead to longer-term price increases. We haven't necessarily seen that yet ripple through, but we could. Mm-hmm. I think there's also concern in the not-for-profit sector, Health and Human Service agencies, a lot to worry about there. But on the whole, the local economy is actually holding up pretty well. Our unemployment rate in July was about 4.3%. That's actually lower than the state of Massachusetts. It's lower than Berkshire County's long-term rate. That could change, but for right now, it seems to be holding up okay. And a lot of employers are still hiring. Greylock has 13 job openings as of this morning. We've elevated our starting wage to $20 an hour, as have a lot of other high-quality employers locally. So there's, you know, there are bright spots, but we're paying attention to all that stuff
sure.
at the national level.
So how are tariffs going to show up? Like, I'm going to go to the store and I'm going to see a price plus a tariff, or is it all going to be part? Is it going to be more expensive to ship things?
Yeah.
What am I going to see day to day?
A tariff is a tax, and it's a tax that's charged as a good or service comes into the country. So there wouldn't be a sticker on it at the grocery store saying this is your tariff, probably. But it is a tax, and therefore it will increase prices. If the tariffs really take root as has been proposed, we will see prices continue to go up or continue to stay high. So yeah, the cost of most things that we import will be higher.
Mm-hmm.
It will take a while for that to ripple through the economy. When some major tariffs were announced, the first thing I did, of course, was go to my favorite wine store and say, hey, how much more is this going to cost me? And my favorite wine merchant said, don't worry, he said, deep stocks of reserves that the retailer has and his distributors have. It might take 6 or 8 months.
Mm-hmm. But before the French stuff gets...
Yeah.
Doubles
Italian
in price.
In my case, but yes.
So
flash forward a year or two, if these tariffs really are implemented, our pricing in the U.S., the U.S. consumer will be paying a lot more, and that will have a negative effect on the economy.
Yeah, and we'll talk about that in a little bit more. We've heard a lot about changes in the Federal Reserve. We've seen the chairman in the crosshairs, and we've seen a lot of people coming and going. How does that affect you guys on the local level?
So this is an example of a theme that I want to bring out today, Ellen, is there's a lot of fear and anxiety, and Fed independence is at the top of that list.
Mm-hmm.
Those are things to really pay attention to, and I will talk about that, but it's also something we can't do a lot about. So Fed independence means that the Federal Reserve, the most powerful central bank in the world, has the independence to make monetary policy decisions separate from political decisions. And if that changes, we will see shockwaves go through the global economy. Globally, there's about $150 trillion worth of bonds, right? The fixed income market is about $150 trillion. The U.S. is about 25% of that. So picture all the oceans of the world filled with cash instead of water. And if you're going to see a tsunami warning every day in the Atlantic Ocean on every coast that touches the Atlantic Ocean, that's the equivalent of what this would be. So I hope that doesn't happen. But again, it's something to be concerned about and to worry about, but we can't really do anything about it. What I would suggest families and businesses can do is prepare themselves for economic downturns, prepare themselves for shocks,
Cindy,
all the kinds of things that Cindy does. Yeah,
specifics. Right. So here I am. I've got a house. I've got two kids, let's say, in public school, getting ready for college. I was thinking of, this is hypothetical, of redoing my mortgage. What should I be thinking about? How should I plan for this? What should I be listening for on the radio, news-wise?
When you listen, you're going to be really depressed. But we always try to give people the best tools possible. And a lot of the things we do look at is budgeting. And, you know, budgeting, it's, you know, not a fun thing, but getting, I like to say, do you have control over your money or does your money have control over you? And so having people, like, really get a handle on where their dollars are being spent, that helps them. So we look at that. We also look at credit, because credit also impacts how much more you pay for a lot of different services. And then if you are thinking about, you know, redoing the mortgage, I'm going to look at the whole financial picture. Does this make sense? How much is it going to cost to do this, and how much is that going to save you over time? So there's a lot of different analytics, and the coaching is very one-on-one, because your situation will differ from Roberta's, John's, and mine. So we really pull in all the different resources. Where do you want to be in like a few years as opposed to where you are now, and how can we get you there?
Yeah. So what do you suggest people do? Should most people just put those credit cards away for a while till we see what's going on? Or
it's like keep an eye on them, because even the credit cards are, they're kind of a double-edged sword. If you don't use them, they can actually be shut down, your credit limit is reduced, and then your credit score actually decreases. So there's the usage factor that comes into play. But we try to guide our members, if you're looking for a generality, is to keep things at least under 30%. You want to make sure that you're not living off those cards. You want to use them as tools, leverage them, but when you start living off them, that's when it becomes very dangerous.
I understand. Roberta, let's talk about credit unions. What's the advantage of a credit union as opposed to a bank? What's the difference for people? And in marketing, I'm sure you're talking about this a lot.
So I'm glad you asked that question, because we get that question a lot. A lot of times people, first of all, they interchange the words. They say bank, credit union, bank, credit union. So that's always the first thing we say. It's not a bank. Mm-hmm. So a credit union, we are a not-for-profit financial cooperative, right? And what that means is that we are owned by our members. Our members have a voice and they have a vote. That means that they are empowered. So you are a part of something bigger. Then there's the aspect of corporate social responsibility, right? When you think about how those dollars are driven back into the community, they're not provided as dividends. They go back into the community. So when we think about Greylock's value proposition, and what I tell folks when I have a conversation with them, I say, think about how many times Greylock shows up. Those are dollars that are going back into our community support and engagement, not to mention the products and services we offer. But when people think about credit unions too, there's always the thinking that a credit union really works with community. I remember my first introduction to a credit union. I was in Detroit, and actually I was working as an intern at the Detroit Free Press, and everyone in Detroit, everyone is like connected to like Ford. And I was able to get my first car through a credit union. And that was my first introduction. I had no idea what a credit union was, but what I knew was that it offered great rates. It offered it leaned in to its members. And so what I tell folks is, when you think about a credit union, you're thinking about a space that you have a voice in. You are just not an entity.
That's really good description. John, when we hear about on the federal level, mm-hmm. about federal programs, we are hearing about health care and who knows.
Right.
We hear about mortgage rates. We mm-hmm. hear in federal programs for immigrants, for other groups that might just be disappearing, for college students, other things that might be coming. What are the things that you're looking at?
Yeah, I'm looking at all of that. And as I said, we're working hard to analyze and pay attention to all of these disruptions and potential disruptions. A lot of what we've heard about hasn't actually happened, right? We have to just parse that out. Some things have actually started to be implemented. Some are proposed. Some are stuck in court. And we are actually tracking all. We have a team that's actually tracking all of that. But at the things that we think are probable or have actually already started to happen, again, we're trying to make sure that we are responsive to the community as much as possible. Our goal is to open up the financial system to as many people in the region as we possibly can, wherever they are from, whatever their gender identity is, whatever their nationality is, their language is. And so we're constantly trying to remove those barriers no matter what. And obviously, we are federally regulated. We operate within all the federal guidelines, laws, and regulations. But we also are acting in concert with credit unions across the country. So there's a lot of excellent information sharing about how do you deliver for new Americans? How do you continue to deliver credit effectively, even when people's financial lives are being disrupted? How do you work with families who may have an individual that got deported? We've actually engaged, and Cindy's team especially has engaged and worked hard on that.
Yeah.
So we're trying to, as calmly as possible, just be, you know, operate the business, do what we do, and continue to do it well for the community, because we know that that's the path to long-term success. This community's been through a lot. I could point out that the crash of 2007-2008 was really difficult. We got through it. The pandemic was super difficult. We got through that. We'll get through this too. It's not going to be easy. It's not easy. But I'm really energized by the great things that our employees at Greylock are doing in our community. We work in partnership with dozens and dozens of agencies as well.
Yeah. Cindy, what are the top three questions that you're hearing from people who are coming in with, you know, a stack of paper saying, help, here's what I'm concerned about? What are the things at the top of the list?
So the biggest fears right now is that, you know, lack of affordability, because a lot of people, especially that I deal with in the Community Empowerment Center, they're on fixed incomes, which are unfortunately turning into shrinking incomes. So when you're looking at your food going up and they're looking at certain services, I mean, if BCAC does not get access to fuel assistance this year.
What is BCAC for folks who don't know?
Thank you. Berkshire Community Action Council. They supply a lot of fuel assistance to Berkshire County residents. And a lot of the people I do work with are pretty much dependent upon that. That has saved them. So as other benefits get cut, as your food pantries get stretched, because with the food costs, that's another thing. So we do get a lot of requests on, can we consolidate? Can you look at my current debt and help me consolidate it down? Can we stretch out the way my dollars can go, because everything I touch is increasing? So there's the panic, on the immediate panic of getting through the looming winter, but then the winter and beyond, as other things are systematically cut or threatened to be cut. So that is a huge request I get.
So the best question is, I have a pot of money. It's finite. Everything else is doubling, tripling.
Exactly.
How do I spread it across all this?
Yeah. Absolutely. So using all the different tools we have. But then your immigrants, it's different. And like John said, what happens if I get deported? How do I get my money? Is my house going to disappear? Because a lot of your immigrants are with what's called a mixed status family, meaning some are U.S. citizens and others are not. And so when you have a mortgage and the main breadwinner is deported, what are we going to do? So we're trying to, you know, put in contingency plans for those families and help them as well.
It's big, big issue. For all three of you, I guess, is anybody keeping independent statistics? Because I'm reading everything and questioning every number I see.
Good idea.
Every scale I see. Do credit unions, do you do your own statistics and share them? Does the banking system outside of government do that as well?
And by statistics, do you mean on like the financial health of the institutions?
Even though what was the jobs report came out today?
Yeah,
you know, even things like that.
Right,
do we have our own things? Are there things that are separate from the government that are going on?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think so. Berkshire Regional Planning Commission is an excellent source of local data of all kinds. If you go to berkshirebenchmarks.com, berkshirebenchmarks.org, I think it is. You'll find some excellent regional data, and I find it to be highly credible and dependable. We do keep a lot of stats, and a lot of what we're paying attention to, Ellen, you asked what are we doing in response to all the stuff that's happening at the national level. A big part of what we're doing, frankly, is working to make the credit union stronger and more resilient. Cindy's working with individuals to help them become stronger and more resilient. We're doing the same thing for the overall credit union. And right now what we're seeing is a lot of love for the credit union model. Co-ops are particularly resilient in stressful times. The whole U.S. credit union movement started during the Great Depression. So we're really built for this. And so we are making sure that our balance sheet at the credit union is ready for anything that comes, very humbly and carefully. We're doing that, not to brag, but we are ready if rates go up, if they go down, if there's more economic shocks, we are ready. We've got a lot of capital on hand. And Roberta spoke to the difference, what a financial cooperative is. It means everyone who comes to the door and has an account with us is an owner. So what we're trying to do is keep it as healthy and strong as possible for all those 105,000 owners. We're putting a lot of energy into that right now, just building up a stronger and stronger foundation.
So what are banks and credit unions thinking about to plan for the health of the region beyond your organization? What are the bellwethers that you see in, I guess it's beyond Berkshire County, isn't it? Anybody can be a member, where the geographic.
Yeah, we have a lot of ways to qualify people for membership, exactly right. Yeah, what we're trying to do, I mean, it's some of the stuff I talked about. We need to have enough capital on hand so we can respond to whatever the community needs. So right now, if we were well-capitalized, quote-unquote, if our regulator considered us to be well-capitalized, that would be about a 7% capital ratio. That's a certain amount of cash on hand, if you will. We're instead at 12%, so we have about $85 million extra dollars over and above what we're required to have. That really prepares us for anything. it prepares us for growth. If the economy stays reasonably strong, people are buying cars, people are getting mortgages, starting businesses, we can respond to that. If difficult times hit, like they've done over and over, we're ready for that. If smaller credit unions want to merge with us, we're ready for that. We've done that 7 or 8 times in the past. There could be more of those in the future. So there's an awful lot of cooperation happening between credit unions too, sharing ideas. Sometimes we'll participate on loans together. If there's a new development that's too large for a credit union to finance on its own, we'll share that loan with them. So those are some of the kinds of things we're doing to pay attention to the regional health of the overall mm-hmm. footprint.
So, Roberta, these are complicated issues. They're not one-sentence responses. Yeah. How are you approaching talking to the members and talking to the region at large to kind of simplify these but also educate?
You're absolutely right, Ellen. These are, I like to say, they're kitchen table issues that people think about at night or in the morning when they're eating breakfast. And there's so much information coming at folks. And I think what we always strive to do is provide information that is legitimate, that is easy to understand. You know, coming from the newspaper world a long time ago, there's a saying called tell it to mama, right? And how would you break down a complex issue if you were talking to your mom, right? You wouldn't use a lot of jargon. And so what we try to do is stay away from the jargon, stay away from the complexities of it, and really think about what do our members care about? What is important to them? Will I have enough money? Will my money be safe? What should I do in the future? And so a lot of our messaging, and we use all our channels. We have our newsletters, we have our website, we have our emails, we have social media. We use all of them to communicate a message of safety and security and how we are meeting their needs on an everyday basis.
Yeah. Cindy, has anybody been asking about cryptocurrency? There's been a lot of talk about cryptocurrency, and to me, I don't get it. I ask my son what this stuff is, and he explains it to me. Are folks, is it top of mind for some people?
Yes, it is. It does come into play. But in my world, it's coming into play in two levels. One being legitimate, where people are doing normal investments. But the flip side is the amount of fraud is out of control right now. Mm-hmm. With the advent of artificial intelligence, the ability to defraud people is growing at exponential levels. So a lot of my coaching, unfortunately, is trying to help people, educate them. Education is such a powerful tool, but to keep ahead of this, it's so difficult. And they prey on those that are desperately in need. So they're like, we can do this crypto investment, and they're reaching out, and it sounds so legitimate, and everything looks amazing, and they invest their last dollar, and unfortunately, it's gone. So I look at crypto from two sides. You know, I kind of fear it because of all the AI manipulation. But I also have friends that have really benefited amazingly from investments.
Yeah, if it's too good to be true, it probably is.
Yeah, you know that one? Yeah.
have you all noticed, I my email box is full and my text box of messages from financial offers of all kinds. Mm-hmm. And messages from institutions saying, you know, click here and you can collect all this money that's been sitting here. It seems like it's really doubled.
It has.
Is that your experience, too, that it's not my imagination
about this?
At work
and home, Ellen, I could show you my phone right now. And, you know, and I look for things and I want to educate people. And you say, oh, U.S. dollars. We don't tell you we're going to pay you in U.S. dollars. So when you see that ding, 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 red flag and look where it's coming from and you were approved from a loan that you didn't apply for. Mm-hmm. And I don't click on anything. I think I fill our phishing box up every day, John, with I don't trust it. I don't trust it.
Same. Yeah. And it's Cindy's team and does a great job with fraud prevention and fraud education. And if you go to greylock.org, Roberta's team keeps a lot of great updated information there as well.
Absolutely, John. Greylock.org/fraud. And we have a page dedicated to resources. And I really want to highlight that because that is a topic that it is top of mind for us. You asked about things that we're talking about, those topics. That's it, because we see with the advent of AI and all the tools that are available for fraudsters, new day, new scam. And what we want to do is educate our members in a time when there's so much uncertainty. We don't want them to fall victim or prey to the latest fraudster or scam. So we want people to be educated, and education is key in these times. So again, I really, really encourage everyone to visit that page, because there's a host of resources to stay safe. And when in doubt, don't click.
Mm-hmm.
Whatever it is, don't click. That's the major thing. What are the major ones are you seeing? Are they from companies you never heard of overseas or in bad English?
We
and
see
bad
text
spelling.
We in marketing, we get a lot of notifications about text, right? A lot of the duplications, right? Where they make it so that it looks so realistic. Mm-hmm. And if you are an unassuming member, you might think, "Oh, that's Greylock. I'm going to click on it." Don't. We always advise everyone, when in doubt, please call us in mm-hmm. our contact center, 413-236-4000. We always ask everyone to reach out. Always ask a question. Do not click on anything. Verification is always key.
Are there statistics being kept about this, about the amount of
there are,
this stuff
and they're
going
daunting.
On?
The level of fraud is staggering. Cindy mentioned it. Roberta mentioned it. There are a lot of stats out there. It's exponentially more of a problem than it was mm-hmm. even 10 years ago. And the AI is powering fraud, just like it's powering productivity on a healthy side. It's mm-hmm. also powering fraud, making the fraud more sophisticated and more of it. So people have to really be on their guard.
Everybody talks, we talk about AI all the time. Mm-hmm. What does it actually do? Is there some server somewhere that's just sending out millions of messages? What's really happening?
Well, I think it, in years gone by, when you would get a fraudulent email, often it had typos, right, and weird. You could just pretty quickly say, okay, this is bogus. Now the quality is excellent, and they can be mimicking a service that you did sign up for. Maybe you are a Netflix subscriber, but you really still shouldn't click on this thing. It's getting hard to tell the difference. I think so. It's made the quality and, yes, the persistency and the targeting of the fraudulent stuff, just more of it.
So get on the phone. Is that decent advice? Or
yeah, come see us. Don't feel like you have to respond rapidly, and especially if you get a phone call where someone's pressuring you, pretending mm-hmm. to be from a bank or credit union, pretending to be from the IRS, pretend if they're really pressuring you, threatening you, hang up, come get some advice from a Greylock representative, or call us at 236-4000, as Roberta said. Mm-hmm. I think it's also a good time, again, that whole theme of take control of your financial life as much as you possibly can. Just build a partnership with a coach like Cindy or someone on her team, with a financial advisor. We have a number of them on our staff as well at Greylock Investment Group. They're licensed investment advisors. If you feel like, hey, I maybe want to add Bitcoin to my investment lineup, come talk to someone first. Where does that fit? If you feel like you're freaking out and you want to jump out of the stock market, talk to someone first. It's really a good time to be deliberate and thoughtful, do all the homework, and talk to the more people you talk to who are experts and reliable and trusted experts, the better off you're going to be.
Yeah. Speaking of that, what kind of financial management services, like stockbrokers, do you all do that, or do you work with folks who manage portfolios?
We do. We have four fully licensed investment advisors on our team, and they're backed up by LPL, which is the largest broker dealer in the country, private broker dealer. And so they're full-time financial advisors. That's what they do, Greylock Investment Group. We also have a full-service insurance agency, so homeowners, auto, life insurance, commercial insurance. So pretty much anything that most people need in the Berkshires, we can help them with that.
And those are local folks
and national
folks that you all trust
and vet. That's right. You got it.
Is there minimum in terms of investment accounts?
No, there's not. And that's what sets us apart. Most of the large investment firms have come up. You need to have at least $250,000, $500,000, or $1 million. Or for maybe $500,000, you can talk to a robot, and for $1 million, you can talk to a human. We don't have any of that. We have great technology, but you can talk to a human being whether you've got $10 or $10,000 or $10 million.
Yeah. So what part of the whole financial picture of Greylock Federal Credit Union is your investment piece?
The investment group is headquartered right there at 150 West Street, right in downtown Pittsfield. Mm-hmm. And we've also got representatives across the county. And they can meet with anyone anywhere, southern Berkshire up to northern Berkshire.
Great. There's lots more to talk about, and we will do that in a minute after this break. I'm delighted to have representatives of Greylock Federal Credit Union, John Bissell, the president and CEO, Roberta McCulloch-Dews, VP of Marketing, and Cindy Shogri-Raymer, VP Director of Community Development. So don't touch that dial. We'll be back in just a minute.
Stay tuned for more Morning Drive here on WTBR FM.
Pittsfield Community Radio, 89.7 WTBR FM Pittsfield, 88.1 WSBR Lee.
Support for WTBR comes from Berkshire Community College. free community college for any Massachusetts resident without a bachelor's degree at BCC. Find out more at berkshirecc.edu. And from Sundrini Awnings and Home Improvement, providing awnings and canopies in Western Mass. Retractable awnings, retractable screens, gutter and gutter protection systems, commercial awnings and screen rooms, customized solutions available. Online at sandrini.com.
WTBR-FM is listener-supported radio. That means we depend on your donations to keep the station on the air. All the local content and the music you love requires your support. You can make your donation today at WTBRFM.com by calling 445-4234 or stopping by our studio at 4 Federico Drive in Pittsfield. You'd be glad you did. Pittsfield Community Radio, for the love of radio.
What would it be like not having PCTV's reliable coverage of our Pittsfield City meetings? Well, the answer is it would be like driving in the darkness without headlights. We need the light to show us exactly what's coming our way. PCTV's coverage is that light. It's so reliable and dependable, we don't even think about not having it, but nothing can be taken for granted. Support this building block of democracy today. It's too important to lose, especially now. Pittsfield Community Television, see it all, decide for yourself.
Hey friends, if you're looking for some party music, tune in to Polka Express with me, Bill Gustavus, every Wednesday night from 6 to 8, and Sunday mornings from 8 to 10, right here on 89.7 WTBR, Pittsfield, Massachusetts.
Support for WTBR comes from Greylock Federal Credit Union, proud to support high school arts and sports programs to help our community thrive. Greylock Federal, with locations throughout the Berkshires and online at greylock.org.
And from UCP of Western Massachusetts. UCP of Western Mass is hiring full and part-time opportunities to provide a life without limits for people with disabilities. For more information, ucpwma.org/jobs.
You have chosen wisely.
WTBR. And now back to the Morning Drive on WTBR-FM, Pittsfield Community Radio.
We're back. This is Morning Drive. I'm Ellen Speer with folks from Greylock Federal Credit Union, and they're unknotting for us all of the information about money that we've been hearing about. So let's talk first, Roberta, about youth programming.
Yeah.
Kids love crypto and odd, weird things and, you know, stock slams, things like that.
Yeah.
What kinds of programs are you all involved in?
Well, I think there's a lot to unpack right there, Ellen. You know, what I can say is that, you know, how we leaned into the conversation around our youth members this year, we actually thought about a topic of wealth. And I think crypto falls into that, right? Because people want to be wealthy, but wealth is a concept that a lot of people don't understand. And if you're younger, it feels really far off. It feels unattainable. It feels like something that is out there. So we leaned into that topic this year, and what we did is we embarked on a rebrand of our youth member services. So we believe at Greylock, you know, aligned with our mission about financial inclusion, right, that wealth building is for everyone, and the younger you start, the better. And so we want to hone into that. So we rebranded our youth members to wealth builders. And so that is how we refer to them. That is how we label products and services around our young members. And this year, we actually had our first ever Wealth Builders Youth Summerfest. Mm-hmm. And for folks who might say, well, I know Greylock has done like a lot of youth stuff before. Well, we have, and we had it as Youth Week. But what we did was take it to the next level and expand it with free events throughout the week. And so we had three free events in Berkshire County. We had an event in Hudson, New York as well. And it's a blend, right, of fun and educational, helping to teach financial literacy. Because if you can get the foundation, if you can understand the building blocks, wealth will come, right? And so what we don't want them to do is fall for the crypto, fall for the Bitcoin, fall for all those things to say get rich now. We don't want them to fall for a scam. We want them to be educated. And so we are leaning into the education, and we do our best, right? We have a community empowerment center. We have a team of experts that we are linking and connecting them with to make sure they have the education. And we have more coming up this fall, too.
Yeah. It may be an old concept, but there's still Christmas Club.
Yeah. Do they
still
have Holiday Club,
yeah,
absolutely.
It just helps people figure out how to save.
Yes.
Stuff like that.
Absolutely.
So what are you thinking that there's going to be one magic bullet and suddenly overnight they're going to be millionaires?
Absolutely not. And that's actually what we're stressing. You know, it really is about learning the building blocks, learning how to save, learning the power of investing, learning the magic of compound interest, learning all those things, right? Sometimes we assume that people know these things, or some people come from families where they talk about money around the table, but others do not have access to that education. So for us, it's not just a one size fits all. It's everything. And this fall, this month, we're kicking off our Wealth Ambassadors program. And what that is, it's going to be a mixture of middle, high school, college, and vocational students. And they are going to be connected to monthly online conversations with our team of experts from the Community Empowerment Center, as well as other experts from the credit union, embarking on topics, talking about things to, again, help them to have to build wealth, right, and understand the rubrics of wealth creation. So that's going to be a 10-month program we're kicking off this month, and we're excited about it.
Do you involve the responsible adults associated with those youth as well, so they can be supportive?
When you say, you mean like they're like parents or guardians?
It could be parents or guardians,
Well, I think for the conversations, you know, they're going to be online. So, you know, many times it could be in spaces in their homes and their residences where, you know, maybe, you know, the parents and guardians will see, and I'm sure that they might be intrigued as well to see what is their child, you know, learning. And so we definitely welcome parents and guardians to tune in. We want to really spread the education. And this is something, Ellen, that is near and dear to my heart, because I truly believe that when people know better, they can do better.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And let's talk about, go ahead, John.
So I just wanted to add something. It's common, I hear this all the time from people in their 30s, 40s, and 50s that, geez, I wish I had known this basic financial fact, like how to manage my credit, how to balance my checkbook, how to whatever, refi my mortgage. I wish I had known it when I started out. And that's really why I appreciate how Roberta has intentionally built out these youth financial literacy programs. And Cindy has as well for many years, partnered with a program called Bonsai. Cindy, if you want to talk about that a little bit, to try to get credible financial information in the hands of young people so that it's not such a mystery as they get older.
And Bonsai, we've been sponsoring since 2010, and that is for every single classroom in Berkshire County. We've expanded into Pioneer Valley and Columbia. It's free. It's gamified as well, so they can do different adventures. There's different calculators. The teachers, especially during COVID, it was like plug and play. They reached out to us. We need some content. And this is all online. It's delivered right to them. They, you know, there's different topics, and it's geared for your grade school. It's basically 3 through 12 is all in the schools. And then there's an adult version, which we actually put in the colleges.
That's cool. Let's talk about some other groups as well. Cindy, what would your advice be? Because these are people that are probably really frightened. People who are in their senior year of college this year, not only what's going to happen to their tuition support, perhaps, but they're going to be dumped out there into the economy. And what is your advice? What are people thinking about?
Yeah, the advice is a little different. It's more cautious now. Before it was, oh, let's look at that house right away, where a lot of times now we're actually seeing they're graduating college and they're coming back home. So they're either living with parents, grandparents, a bunch of friends might get together. So they really got to look at the way their spending is. And there's no guarantees. You get this amazing degree. Is there a job waiting for you? So there's a little more reality that they're looking at it and looking at developing additional skills and knowing that I might not get my dream job right out of college, but I might have to start somewhere else and build toward that. So we try to encourage them and build that emergency fund, because life is going to happen. So that's a lot of the advice is, let's get that budget together, really pay attention to your credit, because that's going to follow you for a while. And it's okay to live with mom and dad a little bit longer. There's no shame in that.
Mom and Dad might have something to say about that.
exactly. What do you think, Roberta? Are you going to let them back?
They're already there.
There you go. What about the gig economy? Is there a larger and larger percentage of people coming out of colleges and kind of putting together the barista job and the part-time job at night and the other thing like that?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I can speak for it. My son just graduated college, and, you know, while he's studying to take the LSATs, he actually has two jobs right now. So I feel like this is his demographic. And, you know, instead of just sitting down and waiting for something, he's just figuring out how can I make it happen on my own. So, again, cobbling together a couple of jobs while he's working on his, you know, aspirations.
And I think that's a great example of don't sit and wait and hope, just like take action. And there's a lot of things that especially young people can do. I'm really inspired by the entrepreneurial spirit that I'm seeing. When the biggest economic shock I ever lived through in Berkshire County was when GE pulled out of here in the 80s and 90s. And during that was devastating, right? It rewired the regional economy permanently here. And there was a lot of pain from it. But also a lot of small businesses formed around that time. And some of them are still thriving today. So I think that same spirit exists today. And I'm seeing folks, you know, take a swing at starting their own business or team up on a couple of gig assignments while they look for that permanent full-time hire. So I don't think it's an either or. I think there's a lot of creativity that young people can show.
And are they doing this in their basements, or are there places of kind of incubator spaces that are not as expensive, that may be in up-and-coming areas,
One program we've sponsored since its inception in the Berkshires is E4All, Entrepreneurship for All. So that's a great – and One Berkshire also does a lot of mentoring for entrepreneurs. There's other services as well, but those are two that come to mind. The Berkshire Black Economic Council has some great programs for businesses that are looking to get going. But there's probably other ones that I'm forgetting about, but those are some of the ones that were popular.
I was thinking the shared office space, because a lot of people can't do the rent. Yeah. So I am seeing a lot of shared office space. And I also see people, you know, sitting in coffee houses with their laptop and their headphones on, and they're actually conducting business at the coffee house.
What about another segment is those who are facing retirement this year, who had the plan, who did all the financial stuff right, who said this is the year and, you know, it's June 2026, and then they had not expected what was going to happen underneath. What's your advice to them?
I feel like, again, you want to talk to a trusted financial advisor before you do anything large. Don't make a big one-way bet on anything. So hopefully people that have been planning and working towards retirement have been de-risking, right, taking some risk off out of their portfolio as they move closer and closer to retirement. And they're doing that in concert with a trusted financial advisor. Again, we have there's great ones all over Berkshire County. We happen to employ, I think, some of the best. And they're always happy to talk to anyone, whether they're a member of the credit union or not. They're happy to have that conversation. But I think it is the stock market, where a lot of retirement assets reside, has actually been quite strong. It's been going stronger than one might expect in this environment. I think it's only about 40 or 45% of Americans have equities, have stocks. But hopefully people have got, you know, their eye on that retirement portfolio and how they're going to live on a fixed income into retirement. And if they need to make adjustments, it's good to sit down with a trusted advisor, not just wing it or not just fall for something that you see on late night TV or that comes into your inbox.
And then the third kind of segment is someone's gotten an offer for a new job after the first of the year, and they're thinking of changing professions, maybe changing business sectors. How are you talking to those folks?
Give us an example, Ellen.
Oh, Lord. Somebody who's been in banking for 25 years and decides that what really touches their hearts is farming.
Yeah.
that's wow. kind okay. of far-fetched.
Cindy, is there something you're not telling me? Are you going into farming?
No, but I'm saying, you know, major changes of sector where they might have less income at first because it's a matter of the heart, or somebody that wants to go into a very visible position that might be in the crosshairs given the national situation.
Yeah.
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 Yeah. I mean, I think true to the guidance of, you know, again, don't make any, you know, rash decisions, especially when it comes to your finances. And if you're making a big life change, definitely talk to a professional to make sure that your money is in the best place where it should be. Are you diversifying as you, you know, may need to? But again, I wouldn't. I mean, again, I'm not making any recommendations on someone's situation, but I think it's always important to talk to someone who knows a little bit more about it before, you know, jumping into something. Definitely don't make rash decisions or just, you know, without guidance.
And I want to just add that the situation that we're in now with the level of disruption and uncertainty that we're seeing, it will change. I think it'll get more disruptive for a while. But as we get 4 years, 5 years out, we're going to be in a different environment. I can't tell you what that's going to be. But if someone has a passion for something and they're thinking about making that big career change, maybe right now is the time to take it stepwise. Maybe treat that as a hobby or a part-time thing now on the road to maybe making it full-time later if it feels too risky. But it's all about your own financial position. Some people can afford to do that. Take the plunge, do their passion project now. If they don't really feel like they can afford it, maybe find another way to get involved with it without diving in the deep end.
Yeah, we've been talking about people and decisions of people that might have some resources that they can fall back on.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people go paycheck to paycheck.
That's right. That's
and
right.
They use that credit card to make up that $15 difference, smaller dollars.
Oh, yeah.
Is there different kinds of general advice to folks in that situation?
Yes, yeah, I was listening to John because as coaches, a lot of times people will share that dream. You know, I want to run my own restaurant. And we don't want to crush that dream, but we want to open their eyes as to what else is there.
So, go work in a bakery, yeah.
You know, it's like doing, you know, doing some mentorships, checking with EFRAL, working with the small business.
What's EFRA? Sorry.
Entrepreneurship for All.
Okay.
So you've got a lot of mentors that are involved in that. I also like to refer to the Small Business Administration.
Mm-hmm.
We have, personally, we just got into some additional software they provided us with. So in the Community Empowerment Center, I have the ability to sit with you, kind of pick your brain what you're looking to do, and then we can create some, you know, pro forma income statements and let you go in a little bit more eyes wide open. How much money is this really going to, need? Is there startup capital that I can access? What is my credit looking like? Because you as an individual is going to have a huge impact on how you will be treated as a business owner. So we try to shore up all those loose ends and give you as much information and access to education as possible. And then, you know, be there in the background and wish you luck and cheer you on, because it's very eye-opening when you're the cook in the restaurant and now you're cook, head dishwasher, payroll specialist, manager, you know, it's dramatically different.
Yeah.
Got it.
So how do you judge the soundness of your advice? There's lots of people out there who would love your money and love your business and want to give you financial advice about what to do with every aspect of your financial mm-hmm. life. What are questions that you can ask yourself?
Yeah.
And ask that person to
right.
kind of test if they're for real.
Yeah, you want to figure out if their interests are aligned with your interests, right? So if it's a person involved with investments, how are they getting paid? And that's a really good question to ask. You want to look at their track record and the stability that they've had in the marketplace over many, many years. So as Roberta said at Greylock, if you're a customer, you're an owner. So our interests are very much aligned with yours. We want to see you do well so that Greylock does well. But it's a really good time to ask your financial services provider ask questions that lead you to understand how are they getting paid, how are their interests aligned with yours, what's been their track record in the past, and how are they getting ready for downturns? Like if you're planning to put your money with them, whether it's a bank or an investment advisor, what are they doing to prepare for risk, and how are they going to help you manage risk? If you don't feel comfortable with their answers, just move on. There's plenty of other choices out there.
So there's a percentage of gut that goes with that, too.
Well, gut and talking to lots of people, yeah. right? It's amazing how many people they'll read all these reviews on Amazon, but then they just, when it comes to their money, they're not quite so careful. They might be super careful buying a piece of hardware, but when it comes to their money, they just sort of go with go with less information. Yeah. And it's a good time to get more information, not less.
The first thing you talked about was with an investment advisor, how they get paid. Mm-hmm. What did you mean by that? What's that connection?
So do they get paid? So some business models get paid. The more they trade, the more they make, mm-hmm. right? And so that might not be great for you. You might want to really buy and hold something of value over the long haul and not have your income being chewed up by transactional fees. You just want to know what you're getting into and what their business model is and whether it aligns. And a good investment advisor will walk you through a questionnaire that tries to identify how much risk you're willing to take and what your big picture goal is, and then develop a strategy that meets that. Mm-hmm. Anytime you feel like their plan doesn't let you sleep at night, you want to step away from that. That's not a situation you want to be in.
So like a what happens if it all falls apart would be a good question.
That would be
ask.
A good question, yeah. Yeah, and also what we focus on at Greylock is building long-term relationships. We are not looking to just do millions and millions of transactions a year, but that's not why we're here. So we're really looking for those long-term relationships, and that's another piece of advice I would offer is look for those folks. Whether it's Greylock or somebody else, are they going to be here for the long haul? Are they invested in this region for the long haul? Can you count on them to still be here mm-hmm. a few years out?
Let's talk about fear. mm-hmm. And how do you, there's a level of that in mm-hmm. all of these discussions. And when you're going out to heed that advice or to figure out how you're going to plan, in these times, what are some things that you all do to kind of tamp down the fear, things you don't listen to, mm-hmm. things you do listen to help you make more rational decisions?
Excuse me. So I will say, Ellen, that again, there's so much information coming at folks every day. You know, I think on an individual level, it's really important for people to, you know, use guardrails, right? Think about what is entering their minds on an everyday basis. And when you think about your, you know, financial institution, at least for Greylock, what we try to do is maintain calm. Mm-hmm. We're an anchor, right? So we are not trying to create additional waves of concern. But what we're trying to do is help our members weather the storm. Again, being around since the Great Depression, we've seen some storms, right? We've seen a lot of things. We've seen recessions and all these things. And so the idea is, what does our messaging look like? What are the things that we are telling our members? Are we telling them, are we giving them sound information? And are we keeping a level of transparency? That is something that is very key. What we always want to do is make sure that we are having ongoing conversations. And sometimes there are really big, complex issues that come about. And we think about, what does this mean to the member? And how can we convey this issue to them? So there's always that ongoing dialogue of what do our members need to know and how can we get this information to them. And as we continue to weather these times of uncertainty, we want to make sure that the door of communication remains open and that we remain transparent to serve our members.
When we were talking before, we were talking about incoming on your phone, you know, yeah. the email and the caution to not react mm-hmm. immediately.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little more about that?
Yeah.
What do you do to vet those things before you hit the link or don't or hit the garbage can?
Oh, my God. I always, in all of my coaching sessions, all of my education, it's like breathe, step away.
Mm-hmm.
And I've also been a fraud victim, so I can speak
right.
from, you know, I'm highly trained. And guess what? I was also, you know, a victim, but I was able to stop it. So when you get a letter sent to you, call this number. I always tell people step away. Because you don't know if now that number is actually attached to the fraudster or if that link. So I always recommend if it says it's coming from Greylock, go to the Greylock website and call the number on our website. Reach out to us. Mm-hmm. If you get something on Facebook, always, always handle that with a high, high degree of caution. So when John's talking about getting a financial advisor, don't just click on the link that came through on Facebook or YouTube or your email. You need to pick up the phone, do your research. And I'm a big fan of going local because they can walk in, they can see Roberta, they can see John. They know this is the person I'm dealing with. It's not just clicking a link and talking to a bot or a scam artist. So vetting, looking, breathing, and staying calm and going to someone you trust. Trust mm-hmm. is paramount.
Yeah, that's great.
We want to be that trusted advisor.
That's great.
Is there anything that really does require some immediacy in your response to be able to take advantage of it, or is that just a pressure tactic?
I would say it's most times a pressure tactic. I, like Cindy, I have been a victim of fraud. And when I realized it, then I acted quickly to repair it, you know, freeze my credit, do all those things. I actually called Cindy and had, okay, Cindy, I know you're an expert. Walk me through this.
We did it right away.
So that I did quickly. But if it's an offer or you have to act now to avoid or one of those are almost always not something to respond to quickly.
Yeah. And what's the credit union industry and the banking industry doing about card fraud, excuse me, I know with Doge numbers going everywhere.
Yes,
I've been a recent victim of somebody buying $7 worth of gas in California with my card that was in my wallet. Wondering if you've noticed that's and what do you guys do to counter that?
The partners we work with for our credit and debit programs definitely have the fraud monitoring services dialed way up. I mean, that's the only way I can put it. So there's extra degrees of caution placed to try to identify fraudulent transactions. I think the technology around that fraud detection and prevention is getting better. So we talked about the ability of AI to promote fraud. There's also some pretty powerful tools already at work to prevent fraud, detect fraud, and fight fraud. So we're using those with our partners. I don't know if there's any other things that come to your mind, Roberta. But
I was just listening to everyone. Yeah. Two things that came to mind. One, don't be ashamed if you are also a victim of fraud, because it can happen to anyone. And I think sometimes people don't want to tell anyone. They don't want to reach out. They don't want to let their financial institution know that they were a victim. Please do not suffer in silence. Let someone know so you can get help right away. The second thing is check your accounts.
Yes.
Because if you're actively checking your accounts, you're going to notice if something is awry. Mm-hmm. So check your accounts. Be diligent about your statements so that you're seeing, wait a second, that looks funny. That looks weird. Reach out to someone immediately at your local branch or wherever, call and make sure that you can get that rectified. But again, vigilance is key in this time of fraud.
Yeah.
So let's switch it to happy.
Oh, good.
With the last couple of minutes we've got, when you look at the horizon, John, you were talking about things will change. Mm-hmm. This is not forever. Very Buddhist. It will keep going. Do you see any kind of long-term signs that are positive for us that we should be thinking about and building on now?
I do. So at Greylock, one positive sign that I see is that 200 or 300 new members are coming into the credit union every month. That's still true. That's been true for over 5 years, and we're still seeing a strong stream. But that tells me that people really want local relationships, and I think that's very positive. I'm seeing businesses and cultural institutions banding together like I haven't seen before. I'm seeing states band together like I haven't seen before. So even though there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of stress, there's also a lot of action being taken by smart, committed people. I think there's a ton of very dedicated people who are going to make sure that this region is still a great place to live, work, and play forever. We got through all the other calamities, and look, it's still a pretty great place to live here in the Berkshires, and we're going to get through this one as well. So I think it's that camaraderie, the collaboration, that degree of collaboration I see only going up. And I attend a lot of conferences in our credit union movement, as do Cindy and Roberta. And that level of teamwork and having each other's backs, I'm only seeing more of as things get tougher.
It's almost like there are new collaborations happening, that the old things are falling away, and people are looking for new partners that they should work with.
Yep, I think that's true. And that can be a healthy thing. It's painful to make all these big changes, but I think it's healthy.
It is.
Well, I think we're coming to the end of the time. It's an hour. I have tons more questions that I'll ask another day.
Next time.
But I thank you so much for the folks from Greylock Federal Credit Union, John Bissell, President and CEO, Roberta McCulloch-Dews, Vice President of Marketing, and Cindy Shogri-Raymer, VP Director of Community Development. I'm Ellen Speer. I thank you so much for joining us this morning. Stay with WTBR, Pittsfield Community Radio, and have a wonderful morning. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.